Have you ever asked yourself the question, as I have many times in my life, why do we suffer? And maybe even more particular, why do we as God's people suffer? Why do we go through the trials, face the hardships, have to deal with the difficulties that come our way, live under the stresses and the anguish of things that are not under our control? This week when I was visiting, I talked to two people who've been through procedure after procedure after procedure with doctors, and they both said, you know, all I can do is do what they say do, but, you know, I'm getting tired of this. What is it about life that brings so much suffering, so much anguish, so many difficulties, so many challenges and struggles to us? And strangely, the answer is, well, that's just life. That is the life we live. In other words, as spiritual beings, living a human experience for the time that God has sent us here and given us here, that is a part of life. But also a part of life is joy and pleasure and rewards and all of the good things. As Jesus said, God makes his rain to fall on the just and the unjust alike. I mean, life has its good side and it's got its downside. Life has its joys, but it also has its sorrows. Life has its rewards and pleasures, but it also has its suffering. So what's the great godly design in all of this? Well, the design is that no matter what comes our way, the generic purpose God has for each one of us is that we live to the praise of his glory. That we make God proud because we're his people, that we belong to him, that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So whether we're in our good times or our difficult times, whether we're in joy or in sorrow and suffering, we're to bring glory to our God. We're to make our Heavenly Father, Abba Father, proud of who we are and that he has chosen us to be a part of his family. Now, I think David gives us a little help because he struggled with this question a lot if you remember reading the Psalms. There are a lot of Psalms that deal with sorrow and tragedy and personal anguish and even what we might call clinical depression. When he says to us in Psalm 26 that you heard a moment ago, "Vindicate me, O Lord." See, he's already in trouble or he wouldn't use the word vindicate. Vindicate me. I'm having some problems, O Lord. I have walked in my integrity, and I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Now listen to this second verse. Prove me, O Lord. Try me, and test my heart and mind. For thy steadfast love is before my eyes, and I walk in faithfulness to thee. He pretty well sums up the reason we suffer, the reason we face difficulties and challenges and hardships in our lives. That as spiritual beings, living in our human experience, this time we have on earth is a time to prove who we are before God, to be tried before God and to be tested before God, to see our worthiness. In other words, everything in life is proving, trying, and testing to determine the place we will have with God and Christ in his kingdom. So as I have taught for several years, you know, we come from God. We were spoken forth by God before the foundations of the world until that special time when we were conceived in our mother's womb and born into this world with a special mission and a special purpose. And we're to live to the praise of his glory while we're here. But while we're here, we're going to suffer. We're going to face hardships. We're going to come up against difficulties. We're going to struggle. We're going to have sorrow. We're going to be depressed at times. We're going to be down. Because God is proving us, proving our worth. God is trying us. Life itself is testing us in a very special way. Now, we don't feel that way when we're going through it. A lot of times we don't think about it. Talking about procrastination, which I have to deal with a lot in my life, I finally finished my taxes yesterday. I found out that they changed a form I'd been using and realized I couldn't use it. I got so disgusted that I got an extension and put it off. I actually have till the 15th of this month to get it done. So, you know, it's pretty early for me to make it a whole week ahead. But yesterday was somewhat a day of difficulties and suffering and anguish. And when I was in the middle of it, because I hadn't touched this since the first of the year, and in April, and finding the things I needed to do all of that. And in the midst of that, I didn't think, okay, this is a time of being proved. This is a time when you're being tried and tested. Put your faith in the Lord. That's all it is. No, I tell you, I didn't behave very well. I forgot about this. Now, how could I forget this when I've been preparing this week to preach on it? Because we get kind of stuck on ourselves when we're suffering, when we're down, when we're frustrated. And I do too. And I forget to tell myself in that moment, God's proven me. This is a trial. This is a test to see my worthiness as one of his children. And that just went right by yesterday for me. Now, last night I thought about it. And I thought, well, who am I to go in preaching on this morning with the feelings and the emotions and the anguish and the frustration that I was feeling yesterday? Because I didn't feel any of that. But we need it nonetheless. Because I thought about it last night. And you know, if that was a trial, if that was a test, yesterday I flunked. But isn't it good that, like, when you're in a class, if you fail a test, you know, you've got a way to redeem yourself. And God's provided for that too. You know, you've got the whole course to take other tests and to do better. And that's our life as human beings. These sorrows, these frustrations, these difficulties, these times of anguish and frustration and depression come to us. And I want more and more to be able to come to those moments realizing, thank you, Lord, like Paul would say, which is a little hard to grasp at times. Thank you, because I know you're proving me. I know that this is just a trial. This is just a test. And one day I'm going to be with you. And more as those things happen in my life, to be able to embrace it as an act and an opportunity for faith. That's my goal. I didn't do very well yesterday. But that's my goal for today. That's my goal for tomorrow. That's my goal for the future. But this week I was reminded that I believe the Amish people do this. Haven't they been a wonderful witness of the Christian faith? As strange as they are to us, as quaint as they are to us, there must be something about living the life they live. Because we read in the paper how one of those little girls offered that the man kill her and let the others go. There was a child who knew what this meant. This is just a time to prove my faith. This is just a time of trial. This is a time of testing. And boy, did a little girl rise to the occasion. And the parents who have already forgiven the man who did this, who live that way, they've got their sorrow, they've got their anguish, they've got their frustration. They may even have some anger. But in their faith, they knew it was a time to prove who they were as Christians. The spotlight of the world was on them. And they proved to be faithful. They were a witness for all of us who claim the name Christian. And as horrible as that kind of event is, that kind of witness could come out of it, says they understand Psalm 26. Do we? Are we using it? Is that our primary resource when we face our struggles and sorrows and difficulties and challenges? You see, they knew the power of Scripture. Peter tells us, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal which comes upon you to prove you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar that you may also rejoice and be glad with his glory when his glory is revealed." See, we're being proven, waiting for him to come again in glory. Peter again says, "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, which though perishable is tested by fire, may redound to praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus." You see, the early Christians understood this. This was a part of their lifestyle, a part of their great teaching for us. James tells us, "Count it all joy, my brethren, when you meet various trials. For you know that testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." A little later, James says, "Blessed is the man or woman who endures trials. For when they have stood the test, they will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I'm tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desires. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." The way I behaved yesterday, my frustration and my desire became a temptation. It was there as a test and a trial, but it became a temptation. And I gave in to that temptation, and I sinned. I did and said some things that were sinful. I'm not proud of that. But I have a God I can go to and ask forgiveness, because I knew that's what I did. I forgot to rest on the knowledge that this is just a way of being proven. This is just a trial in my life. This is just a test. And I gave in to my own sin. But you see, God is calling us through the good news of the New Testament. You know, Paul says, test yourselves. Do you not realize that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you fail to meet the test. Yesterday I failed to meet the test. In the midst of all that was going on in me, I forgot to give it over to Jesus. And that led to temptation, and temptation led to sin. Paul tells us in Romans 8, when we cry, Abba, Father, it is God's Spirit witnessing to our spirit inside of us that we are children, then heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided, see, there's a condition, provided we suffer with Him in order that we be glorified with Him. Then he goes on to say, and I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us in the future. We've got to invite Jesus into our suffering. We've got to invite Jesus into our daily trials and difficulties. We've got to invite Jesus into our struggles and our anguish. We have got to say, Jesus, come, suffer with me, agonize with me, struggle with me. Be there with me to remind me of your love and your power and your care and your might to deliver me from all of this, so I might prove to be faithful, that I might stand trial and be found worthy and tested and be found faithful. And what will we get out of this? Paul tells us that in Romans again. We rejoice in our sufferings. Strange saying, isn't it? We rejoice in our sufferings knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character. That's one reason we suffer. That's one reason we face challenges and difficulties, to build character, to be the people of God, to live it, to prove it, to be tried, to be tested. And character produces hope. And Paul says, hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. That Spirit will remind us in our suffering, in our difficulties, in our frustrations, we have hope. I was with one of our members a couple of weeks ago, and you know, it's sad to see people who are suffering from a debilitating disease, and they're not going to get any better. They're going to be alive, but they're just going to keep getting worse. And to hold on to faith in those moments, to be able to share this kind of message with them, was a great privilege. That our trials, all of life is a trial, not just the hard stuff. All of life is a trial, a test, a means to be proven faithful to God. But especially in the midst of our anguish and suffering, physical, mental, spiritual, to know that suffering produces endurance, endurance, character, and character, hope. Hope in the midst of our struggle and our darkness. To live through these difficult times is to live to the praise of His glory. Why? Because in Hebrews we hear these words that Calvin read. But we see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, crowned with glory and honor. Why? Because of the suffering to death. Suffering unto death. So that by the grace of God, He might taste death for every one of us. as bad as it gets here, we're not going to face the consequences of death. I mean, we're going to die. But we're not going to have to face the heavy consequences because Jesus did that for us. That's the good news. That even when our bodies die, we do not have to overcome eternal death because Jesus has done that for us. We just have to take the place we've won in the kingdom. Go back to Abba, Father. For it was fitting that he for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, many daughters to glory, you and I, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through suffering. And because of that, Jesus calls us brothers and sisters. So when you struggle, when you face frustration and difficulties and pain and sorrow, it's just a test, a trial, to prove our faith. And we have the Spirit as a witness to help us through that. We're not alone. But unlike me yesterday, we have to stop a moment and say, Jesus, come into my frustration. Jesus, share my pain. Jesus, share my suffering with me because I want to share your glory. And I can't do it without you. And he'll come in and we'll prove ourselves faithful. Let us pray. Oh, gracious Father, it's so easy to give in to the temptations of this world. And yet, many of those things that we consider temptations are simply ways to prove our faith, a trial, a test that shows we're faithful to you. Give us the faith to remember that in our difficult moments, in our suffering. Give us faith to remember to invite Jesus in. Give us faith to know that suffering will produce endurance, that endurance is going to build character, Christian character in our lives, and we'll have the hope of seeing you in glory. We need that, Father, because life is not always easy, but with you, it is always valuable and important. Pour out your blessings upon us that we may trust you always. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.